Last year, Judy and I did two Financial Peace University classes by Dave Ramsey. And as a result of that, there was a lot of information about finances and tithe and different things like that. And so the last, number 13 in the series by Dave Ramsey, is a sermon on tithing and giving. And I thought, well, I should bring that to church and just show that. But it takes over an hour to show it, and I knew that people would be walking out probably in the middle of it. But there's a lot of neat information that was given in that. And so I'm going to try to put that into my words, and hopefully you'll get a blessing from it. But I was raised in a very poor home. I'm not saying it wasn't in a loving home. It was, and we had a lot of fun. We used to go to Yosemite for a week, and I think now, how in the world could my parents do that with what little they had? But we did, and we would go to Yosemite. I remember going there, and I don't know how many people have been to Yosemite, but way back when I was a kid, back in the olden days, they used to have what they called the dump and the firefall. You remember those? Anybody remember those? Anybody see those? I see a couple. And we camped right across the road from the dump. And we would go over in the evening to watch the fire. Well, in the dump would be all these bears out there running around through the dump getting all the garbage. And here was all these people standing there watching the fire come off the cliff. And we'd hear them go through camp at night. And all we had for protection was a ring of blankets around our beds. And we were sleeping right on the ground. And that was what we called camping back then. I don't know what we'd have done if it had rained. But anyway, my dad worked real hard. And the way I got through school was he would clean the school. There was six classrooms, and they were all being used, and so it took quite a while to clean them all. And I would get one pair of shoes a year. And they would always buy church shoes, the old leather-soled church shoes. I don't think even kids wear those anymore. But after a while of wearing those in play, the sole would come off. And it would start flapping, you know, and I used to be able to take that sole and flick rocks across the yard. You know, I got pretty proficient at that. A few times that sole would trip me up and I'd go flying down, you know, on the gravel. And anyway, in the wintertime especially, in the summertime it wasn't so bad. It seemed like there was always fruit and stuff like that to eat. But in the wintertime, my dad would pay the bills, pay tithe, and then he would buy a sack of potatoes, a 100-pound sack of potatoes, and a bag of beans, and that would be our diet for the month. And so that's how we lived. Well, we always paid tithe. When I got old enough to realize what was going on, I used to get pretty mad at my folks for giving all this money to the church. I mean, it was probably no more than $20. I don't know. It wasn't very much, probably, but anyway, I used to think that would really feed me a lot, you know, feed me well if I could have that tithe money. And it didn't seem to make any difference. I didn't blame God. I just wanted that food, you know? Through grade school, my dad always cleaned the school, like I said. And when I got into the eighth grade, a doctor's wife, who was just starting to teach piano lessons, she thought that I needed piano lessons. And so she called me up during the summer, just before my eighth grade, and she says, if you'll work for me this winter, I'll give you piano lessons in exchange for your work. And so I worked for her all winter, and that's how I got through 1 year of piano. That was all I took. That was all I could take. Now I wish I'd have gone ahead and finished and, you know, been able to play something. But then we started academy. My parents paid for the entrance fee, and that was it. And I didn't know anything about it. I went through my whole freshman year, happy as a clam, you know, going back and forth to school. and went about to register for my sophomore year. My folks didn't go with me. I went by myself, had to hitchhike up there from St. Helena, if any of you know where that's at, up to Angwin, and went up there to register for my sophomore year. Got all done down to the bookkeeper, down to the accountant, and he says, "You can't register. You haven't paid your last year's bill." I said, "What? You got to be kidding me!" And so I went home all mad at my folks again, you know, and I feel sorry for them because I sure was mad at them a lot, it seemed like. I went home and they said, "Oh, well, go talk to the pastor. Maybe he can give you some money." So I went out and talked to the pastor, and I think he probably gave me maybe $40, enough to just, you know, suffice to get into school. And I got a job on the hospital grounds. It used to be called Sanitarium California, on the hospital grounds there. And I worked there for that year. And by the end of that year, I had paid my freshman and sophomore tuition, and I'd bought a little car. And the Lord had blessed. And while I was going through that time, by making that money, I'd always pay tithe on the money I made, even though I was only making 75 cents an hour, you know, back in the good old days when a dollar was a dollar. And then by the end of my senior year in 1963, all my tuition was paid, and I had a nice 57 Chevy. And I wish I still had that car, by the way. And through my time in the Army after that, and in our home since we got married, we have always been faithful to God, and He has always been faithful to us. And getting back to my parents, it took, after I left home, they finally found somebody that would help them to learn how to handle money. And they were able to finally get on top and start saving and start managing their money properly. So, you know, that's kind of one of the reasons I wanted to present this financial class. I felt a real burden for it. And, you know, just because we have hard times like that, it doesn't mean that God has forsaken us. It means that we have something to learn. After we moved to Oregon, we didn't know what food stamps or unemployment or anything like that was until we moved to Oregon. Then we found out what all those things were. And we'd been here about a year, and it was time for our oldest son, Mike, to start school. And I hadn't worked since June. So how are we going to get our kids in school? We didn't want to put them in public school. It was just not an option for us. And so I found a job in Cottage Grove. There was a little truck shop up there. I worked in that truck shop for 4 nights. I had $20 when I started. At the end of the 4 nights, I had tithe, tuition, and $20 for the gas that I'd used to go back and forth to work. What a God we serve. He said in Malachi 3:10, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse and prove me now in this." And do we return tithes to get God's blessing? Does God need our money? He says, "All the cattle on 1,000 hills are His. So why does He need 10% of what I have?" Do you realize the statistic that Dave Ramsey brought out in his series, that only 2.7% of all evangelical Christians return tithe? And I think that's a pretty sad figure. Let's see if I can illustrate. Would there be a couple of people in our audience that would be willing to come up here and be a prop for a few minutes? Mike? Okay. Now come on up here on the platform so everybody can see you. Okay, I need you to hold that sign. I need you to, I forgot to bring some money. Oh, man. I was going to bring some cash. I forgot all about it. Don't worry about it. Anyway, I was supposed to give Mike some money here. And Mike has been working hard. And as he's been working, He's been saving some aside and some aside and some aside. And then he takes that money and he gives it to the banker over here. Every month he gives him $20 or whatever he can afford. He keeps giving him money, money after money, you know. And then Mike decides one day that he needs, oh, let's say a Jeep. Just because. Or maybe his wife needs a china cabinet. You know, some object like that. And so Mike goes to the bank, and when he goes to the bank, the lady, the teller says, oh no, Mike's coming for his money. I can't. Oh, he's got to go see the manager. So Mike goes to the manager, and the manager says, you know, Mike, I really hate to tell you this, but I needed a boat. And so I took your money, and I spent your money for a boat. I hope you don't mind. Would you mind if he did that? You know, would that be a problem? And so, you know, this is kind of how we are. Now turn those signs around. We're going to change the picture here. The bank becomes man. And Mike becomes God. And God keeps putting into man all of his blessings. And what does man do with those blessings? Does he tend to use them for himself, to hold them to himself, or is he willing to give those blessings back to God? Okay, thank you very much for your help. I appreciate that. I don't know if that helped you out in understanding this a little better or not. God says in Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? People try to rob the bank, and sometimes people feel like the bank is trying to rob them. But God is ultimately trustworthy. What he says, he will do. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, so let each one give his... give as he is prospers in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. We'll be talking about that text later on. What does God say our tithes? Where does God say our tithes should go? Getting back to Malachi 3 again, Malachi 3:10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be room in my house. Storehouse. What is a storehouse to you? We look at the biblical example of a sanctuary. Every sanctuary that we see built in the Bible had a place for their money, their things that they brought in to be stored. The oil, the wine, the meat, whatever they brought in, there was a place for this to be stored. And so that's what is the storehouse. And in today's society, it would be the church. So the storehouse today is the church. God has entrusted the church with the responsibility of using his tithes and for his honor and glory. In Numbers 18:21, God says, I have given the children of Levi all the tithes in Israel, an inheritance in return for the work which they perform, the work of the tabernacle of meeting. And so that's today, the ministers are supposed to be supported by the tithes that we give. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 9:13-14. Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar? Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. So that there are some denominations that the minister has to go out and get a job and support himself, as well as take care of the church. And I think that our system is much more friendly to the pastors than that. And can you imagine what it would be like? Can you imagine how big of, for the deacons to pick up the offering, can you imagine how big of a container they would have if they picked up wine and all the produce instead of money? It's easier for us to take our produce that we sell, convert it into money, and put it in the offering plate. It makes it so much easier. If all people tithe that they should, the tithe was used strictly for the support of the gospel, there would be more than enough money to take the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. What startling challenge does God make to those of us who are afraid to tithe? Malachi 3:10 continues, "Try me now," or "prove me now herewith, saith the Lord." So it is, God gives us the opportunity. He asks us to prove him, to see if he's actually trustworthy, if he's actually going to do what we say, what he says he will do. I know my wife and I have done that in many occasions. We have accepted the challenge, and the only time that we ever lost, one time we missed a house payment because we did not manage our money correctly. It wasn't because God let us down. And also, I have heard some say they don't trust the church to spend the money wisely, but that is not our problem. When we give our money to the church, what the church, what those in authority do with it, it's not our, you know, it's not our problem. God didn't ask us to worry about that. Our problem, our responsibility is to give what God has asked us to give. Adam and Eve, Hebrews 7:8 says, "Here, mortal man receives tithe, but there he receives them of whom it is witnessed that he lives." So now mortal man receives it, but God, we're ultimately giving our tithes to God. Adam and Eve failed the test in the Garden of Eden of taking something that God said was not theirs and they should not touch. They had not trusted God that he had their best interests at heart. Think of all the blessings they missed out on. What blessings does God have for you if you will just trust him? Our tithe or tenth is not all that God asks for. Hebrews 13:6 says, "Don't forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifice God is well pleased." The second part of the equation is offering. With the offering we have more of a discretion over. We get to choose where it goes. How much fun is that? I see needs at times and I wish I could fill them. People that are hungry or cold or in need or a place to live, and I wish I could help be of more help. In the Dave Ramsey series, there's a story about a couple, a young couple that had two children, and they were trying their best to get out of debt. They had gone through the Dave Ramsey series, and they were working on it. They had started out with $60,000 worth of debt, and they were down to $10,000, and so they thought they were doing pretty good. And they met somebody from church on the street one day. It was an older couple, and they stopped and talked. The younger couple, we'll call them Joe and Sue. And Joe and Sue didn't really know this older couple that well. They just recognized them from church. And so they stopped in the street and talked for a few minutes, and the subject of their finances came up. I can't imagine a conversation on the street that would get into finances right away, but it did. And they told them that they were almost, you know, they almost had their debt paid off. They were down to $10,000, and the older couple says, "Well, if you had that $10,000 paid off, what would you do?" And the guy jokingly says, "Yeah, I promised my kids I'd buy them a trampoline." And then they got more serious, and he says, "Yeah, we would really like to adopt a child. When we get all our bills paid off, we want to do that." And so the next day, the older couple showed up with a brand new trampoline. And Joe was very, man, what are these people trying to do? What's their angle, you know? And so he accepted it. I don't know if I would have or not, but he accepted it and put it up, and the kids were having all sorts of fun with this trampoline. And then the next couple days, this older couple called him again. He says, would you mind if we came over for a few minutes? And Joe was, oh man, they're buttering us up for a pyramid scheme or something. There got to be an angle here somewhere. And he was really reluctant, and they called his wife, and she was not feeling good, and the house was a mess. And, well, okay, if you have to come over, okay, you can come over, you know. And so they came over, and as soon as they got there, they said, now, we promise we won't stay too long. We just wanted to talk to you for a few minutes. And they said, we want to help you get out of debt. And they wrote him a check for $10,000. And he said, now you can adopt this baby you want. And I thought that was pretty neat. One of Dave Ramsey's other things that he says is that, like around Christmas or something, Thanksgiving, Christmas, around there, if you go to a restaurant, just give the waitress a tip of $100 or $50 or something. Just be nice. Just open your hand. This cash that I was supposed to have brought this morning that I didn't bring. If we have our hand open with this cash laying here, God can bless it. If we have our hand clenched like that, we not only don't let any out, but we can't receive any more either, because our hand is closed. God has created in us a spirit of giving. It feels good when we were able to help people. And here again, I'm sorry about using Dave Ramsey so much, but it just, one of the things he says throughout his whole course is, live like nobody else, so that later on you can live like no one else. And then for this last one, he says, live like no one else so that you can give like no one else. This is the goal that we should be striving for, is to live in such a way that God, as he blesses us, we are willing to allow that money to go through our hands to somebody else. Again, 2 Corinthians 9:7, God says he loves a cheerful giver. Cheerful, that word cheerful or joyful, depending on your translation, is taken from the word from which we get the word hilarious. What would it be like if, when the deacons were going around collecting the offering, if people were hilarious about the money they were giving to the Lord? I can just imagine, okay, that guy goes to the church down, is supposed to go to the church down the street, not this one. But that's what it is. I mean, the idea of worship not being just part of the service that we have to get through, but a part that we look forward to, is something that we should be working on. 2 Corinthians 8:1-9 tells us of Paul asking the Macedonians to set aside an offering for the Christians in Jerusalem. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the church of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy, their deep poverty abounding in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us that with much urgency that we would receive the gift, that the fellowship of the ministry to the saints. And not only as we had hope, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So they urged Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all great diligence, in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. And they were willing, they were joyful to give, even though they were having a hard time themselves. They were willing to give of what they had to help those in need. How many of us would like to be rich? Do we want that responsibility? And there again, that depends on our attitude. How many of you know people that have a sufficient amount of money, and yet they are so afraid that somebody is going to do something to take that money away from them, instead of just being willing to share that and see how the Lord would bless as it went on? Here again, Malachi 3:10 again, the last half. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out to you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And that doesn't mean that when we give to the Lord, when we give to a cause, when we give somebody a dollar, that we are looking around to see where that dollar is going to come back to us. The Lord will bless us, maybe not financially, but physically or in some other way, so that we will be blessed as a result of our giving. So why do we give? Getting back to our original question. Is it because God needs our money? No, God owns all. In Psalms 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Okay, so is it because the church needs our money? Now that's got to be it. The church needs our money, right? But God can bless the church too. He has, like some people have said, the Lord not only has what we're working on, but all the money in all the banks is His, if He chose to use that. Well, the money we give to the church keeps the lights and heat on and makes it a very nice place to worship. But what the church and God need more is sold out believers in Jesus Christ. And that is what He is searching for. God gave His only Son for us. When we give, it changes us. We cannot expect to prosper with a clenched fist. It is only when we open our hand and our hearts to God that God can fill us. Let us spend some time on Malachi 3:11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit, says the Lord of hosts. We had an experience with that, I'm sure many times, but one I was thinking about this morning. When we lived in Rice Valley, we had our house was kind of back up in the hill, and there was a large pasture out in front of our house. And so the first year we were there, we tilled it all up and put in a huge garden. I mean, it was monstrous. And our neighbor kept going by. We didn't have money for a fence, by the way. And I don't know if it's this way now, but used to be Rice Valley was full of deer. And we put this garden in, and our well was way far away from the house. And we think, well, I don't know if we'll have enough water for the garden, you know. But we just kept trusting the Lord and claiming this promise in Malachi 3:11. And our neighbor worked nights over at the truck stop in Rice Hill. And she would come home just about sunup in the morning, and she would see all the deer eating all around the garden, but they wouldn't go in the garden. And we just thought that was a real witness, not only to our neighbor, but to us as well, that we had a whole pickup load of squash and everything else out of that garden that year. That's the best garden we've ever had since we've been in Oregon. And the Lord blessed. He returned that, He gave us a tangible blessing. So as we look at this, and we are so blessed, He doesn't ask very much of us, just that we give ourselves and our finances to Him. And I think that, each one of us are so blessed with what God has given us. Shall we bow our heads for closing prayer? Heavenly Father, You have given us so much, and we thank You for that. We ask, Lord, that You will continue to bless in our lives and help us in our daily life to trust in You, Lord, to know that You have our best interests at heart. And we thank You, Lord. Amen.